Welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast, the podcast in which Stephen Eltrogi, Barnabas Piper, and Ted Kluck cheerfully rant about all the things that don't matter all that much. And now, buckle up for today's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Happy Rant Podcast. I am your host, Stephen Eltrogi, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Ted Kluck and Barnabas Piper. And before we dive in, want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, David C. Cook Books. And Barnabas, Dave. Barnabas, since you and I didn't talk about Dave at all before I pressed record, what should we tell our listeners about David C. Cook Books? Why are we so grateful to them?
We're grateful to them for publishing me. I think that's really what it boils down to.
And me. Didn't they publish me one time?
Yeah. I'm so glad you remembered. Yes, yeah. They published your book that you co-wrote with Brian Ivey. That's called The Dropbox, which was an excellent book. I think I endorsed that one. I can't remember.
I feel like David C. Cook has been with us so long as a sponsor that we really do think of them as Dave now. And like we've got our shoes off and there's like a pizza being delivered and we're just like flopped on the sofa playing video games with Dave.
They're like the make yourselves at home sponsor as opposed to the we need to be really nice hosts for them. They're like, oh man, like come in.
They've come to our dorm room.
Fridge is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they get their own stuff out of the fridge and we kind of want them to leave, but we kind of don't, you know?
We have a nick. I feel like we should have a nickname for them at this point. We have Dave. We're on a first name basis, but we
Dave,
also have
Daver.
The Dave, the cook, something like that.
Well, yeah. I do think it's funny that every time you say David C. Cookbooks, I picture like David C. is the publisher name and they make cookbooks. That I don't know, just jumps into my head every time, which has nothing to do with nicknames. It just
I picture the actual like personified Dave in like an apron, like doing some cooking.
Wait, on a show. It wasn't Dave like the Wendy's guy. Wasn't he just Dave? Yeah. Like wasn't that his persona?
Dave Thomas.
It's Dave and
Dave Thomas. But he was just like, oh, he's Dave. He's just Dave.
Wasn't there a movie named Dave about like the president or something? Remember
yes,
that from the 90s?
Yeah.
That was a president named Dave?
No, it was about a guy who looks – it's coming back to me. He looks like the president, and the actual president dies, and the government decides to just assimilate this other guy named Dave who looks exactly like the president as the president.
That's a plot line that could only survive for like 4 years in the 90s.
I love it, man. God bless the 90s.
I feel like that's a Norm MacDonald movie. I don't know if that's true, but
it wasn't, but it should have been.
Okay, I was going to say, it strikes me like a Norm MacDonald.
Dude, speaking of Norm MacDonald, if you guys want to watch something really, really funny, maybe you've seen this, but there was a Comedy Central roast of Bob Saget, and yeah, there's a lot of good... There's a lot of good stuff going on, but there was a Comedy Central roast of Norm MacDonald, and... of Bob Saget, and Norm MacDonald was one of the roasters, but he's also a good friend of Bob Saget's, and he basically like didn't want to do it, and so then he just ended up creating a really lengthy series of awkward, intentionally awkward, funny jokes that were not at all roasting about Bob Saget. And it's one of the most brilliant, awkward pieces of humor that I've seen in a long time. So when you get a chance...
And you're nothing if not a connoisseur of awkward
humor. I am. I am a connoisseur of awkward. So speaking of awkward, thank you, David C. Cook, for sponsoring the podcast. If you go to DCC eBooks, that's what it is, right? DCCEbooks.com.
Yes.
Sign up. You get free eBooks, deals on eBooks. And we really are grateful. I don't want to, you know... It's a great way to run off a sponsor by making fun of them on the air. So we are grateful.
Even they aren't listening at this point, Stephen.
Yeah, that's probably true. But we are grateful. And I'm also grateful to my friend Mark Owens at Resonate Recordings for editing the podcast. All the goodness you guys hear when you listen is because of Mark and his guys at Resonate Recordings. If you need your sermon or podcast edited, they are a great team of people to do it. So, guys, we were texting. Ted, you had mentioned you had a really interesting conversation with a pastor. And just tell us about it real quick.
Which is news in and of itself. Interesting conversation with a pastor.
Yeah, well, that's newsworthy in and of itself. But, Ted, what was the conversation about? Because I thought it was a pretty brilliant conversation. We went back and forth on it a little bit. But what was the conversation about?
Well, you guys, listen, we were just doing life together. You know, it was just a little life on life, you know, and he was speaking some wisdom into my life.
This all happened.
Was he mentoring you at the local Starbucks?
He was mentoring me at the local Starbucks. And this pastor, you guys, has had a little bit of a run in publishing as well. He was a commentator in the Crossway ESV Women's Study Bible. So he got to do some commentary in that piece, which I didn't realize that Crossway even sort of acknowledged women. So I mean, it's really good that they have that, and it's even better that my friend got to be a part of it. But as we were talking about publishing and talking about our careers, he asked the question, you know, if your publishing career was a college bowl game, you know, in the pantheon of college bowls, which one would it be, you know? And it touched off this really interesting conversation wherein he decided he was like, you know, the Meineke Car Care Bowl of Christian writers.
I think it kicked off the conversation.
What's that?
It kicked off the conversation.
Yes. That's a really good, that's a good play on words. I understand. Yeah, that's good. I see what you did there. Keep going.
So, yeah, so he was the Meineke Car Care Bowl. I think for me, we decided that I was like the Outback Bowl. You know, which was just sort of kind of on people's consciousness and kind of not bad if you happen to run across it. But definitely, you know, the Outback Bowl is kind of it's a B-list bowl in a B-list city. But if you actually tune in, it's usually a pretty good game.
Now, okay, so maybe we should establish like a baseline. So like would someone like Matt Chandler be like a Rose Bowl?
Yeah, Matt Chandler would be like Rose Bowl, BCS title game. You know, he would be in the upper tier of.
Yeah, I think Chandler's like one of the BCS, or I don't even know if the BCS exists anymore, one of the playoff games. Like a Max Licata would be a Rose Bowl because it's got all sorts of tradition. The game
all sorts
used
of tradition,
to be awesome.
Nothing going on now. Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be awesome. Kind of rotates in some good quality every now and again, but the conferences it tends to represent are, you know, they're not the best currently, or if they their best teams always go elsewhere. So yeah, I think Licata was a Rose Bowl.
Now, so who would be the BCS championship game? Like who's the top?
I don't know. Maybe
I should say not BCS champ. It'd be the playoff championship. Who is the playoff championship game of this? Is it? I don't feel like Matt Chandler's the top guy.
Who is the top guy then?
I don't know. I mean,
Osteen.
It's got to be somebody like that, but maybe.
I mean, if you're just, are we talking quality or are we talking just pure sales?
Dude, you know what? I feel like Osteen is the Super Bowl, actually.
In that, like, he's not even playing the same game.
A bloated, overdone kind of self-parody at this point. You know what I mean? The Super Bowl is just a joke anymore.
Just a glossy presentation of nothing.
It's like an award show. You know what I mean? It's like watching the ESPYs with like a little football game thrown in. So I feel like that would be Osteen.
All right,
that's pretty good.
So Ted, why were you? Oh, but you were the Outback Bowl because you're decent.
Dude, look,
you're a decent watch, but you're not hitting the big time.
On my good days, I'm the Outback Bowl. On my bad days, I'm like the Motor City Bowl in Detroit. You know what I mean? Just this thing that nobody even knows is happening.
Central Michigan versus Miami of Ohio in front of 1,300 fans.
Right. It's like a run-of-the-mill Tuesday night ESPN game with the Conference USA, like the sixth place team against the, you know, the second place team in the MAC or whatever.
Now, I said, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I said I felt like Barnabas was. Do you guys remember when the Fiesta Bowl, it was like the Big East had an automatic in to the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah, you'd have like Rutgers against Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah. It was this terrible, terrible, like everybody hated it, but because of who the Big East was, they had this automatic in.
Right.
So Barnabas, you're the Big East because you have the last name. Because
I have the automatic in.
Yeah, it's your automatic in. Your dad is going to automatically write the foreword to your book.
See, I feel like we took like a fun, lighthearted thing and just made it hurtful right then.
Yeah, that was mean.
Well, that's who I am. I'm sorry, guys.
What I'm really doing right now is looking up the Fiesta Bowl history to see if there were any good games so that I can feel better about myself.
Dude, some of the best bowl games in history have been the Fiesta Bowl. Wasn't, I'm thinking back, the Ohio State-Miami game where Willis McGahee blew his knee out. That was a great one. Even going back into like the 80s, Oklahoma, I feel like played in some great Fiesta Bowls over the years. So it's been
Miami and Penn State back when back when both were powerhouse. That was the Miami shows up in camo game.
That was the Miami shows up in camo. Vinny Testaverde throws like 6 interceptions and kind of sets the tone for the first decade of his pro career in that game.
Late 80s Notre Dame, back when Notre Dame was fantastic.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, much more fantastic than their current reputation.
Yeah, who did you say that I was going to be like the Poutine Weed Eater Bowl? Wasn't that what you said?
Baby, I feel like you're like the GoDaddy.com Bowl, which like their claim to fame is just having the,
minus
the latest
the
bowl game. They play in like March, you know what I mean? So the BCS title game happens, the Super Bowl happens, like the NFL draft happens, and then they have the GoDaddy Bowl, and it's usually like...
which is really just a... It's just a sponsor
Arkansas
for
state against I don't know, Mississippi Valley or whatever.
I'm pretty sure it's just a sponsored spring game for the University of Alabama.
It is exactly
at this point.
Now,
yeah, the Fiesta Bowl, that was also when Boise State beat TCU. Oh man, I'll take Fiesta Bowl. I'll roll
you
with that.
Make an argument that the Fiesta Bowl has really been the best one over the last.
I'm not sure that the Big East ever had an automatic bid either. You might be thinking of a different bowl, but I'm just gonna stick with Fiesta. I'll roll.
Actually,
with that.
They did for a couple years, man.
Yeah, they definitely did, because I remember Pitt ended up playing Utah one year and just got annihilated.
Was that the Urban
just a
Meyer
dog
Utah
of a game
years?
On so many levels?
Yeah, that was the Urban Meyer year. Yes, it was awful.
I think Steven is. I mean, that was a. As long as we're insulting people, and you know, you just got yours, Steven. But I think a more fair representation is the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which is a New Year's Eve game. So not quite prime time, but a decent time slot. I have actually been in Atlanta when it is played, and it draws a bunch of rowdy fans. It's part of a big party. But really, I mean, which
not
of
too
us
rowdy though? Because it's Chick-fil-A, so they're all Christians.
That's right.
All the fans are.
They're playing some rowdy games of cornhole.
That's right.
And because it's like primarily homeschooled families, it's not actually a football game. It's just no
violence.
But it's an Awana thing where they run around those cones, right?
With that overt conservatism and those deep roots and just like Christian tradition. I mean, that just screams Stephen L. Trogi to me. So I think, and I think there's sort of like there's a homeschool vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I think Chick-fil-A Bowl pretty well sums you up.
I'm all right with that, given the fact that I love Chick-fil-A and could probably eat Chick-fil-A 4 days a week. Maybe 5 days a week. Now, Ted, one thing I said to you earlier, if we're trading insults, is that this isn't exactly about bowls, but I said that I felt you were kind of like the Notre Dame of the 80s, yet still getting invited to bowls. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you had the run, you had the tradition.
That I'm a huge, like, worldwide icon with my own, you know, TV network and, you know, fans all over the country.
You could take it that way, or you could take it the way I meant, meaning
that's
like,
the way I am taking
meaning
it.
Like you once had a run of glory, like when you and Kevin wrote your books together. Now he's gone on to be the head coach of Alabama, and
where am I in the metaphor?
You're Charlie Weiss at this point.
You're Charlie Weiss still struggling along.
I love it. I'm coaching Kansas and getting blown out 70-6.
That's right. You got fired by Kansas at this point. It was a rough go.
Oh.
Always wearing the what was the – did he wear like the pullover like windbreaker? Always wearing the pullover windbreaker.
Well, let's just say there's a limited selection at the double big and tall stores. So he didn't have a ton of options in team gear.
Good old Charlie Weiss.
Good old Charlie Weiss. All right. Now that we've settled which bowl each of us belong to, let's move on to the prime event. I had an idea, I think it was last week, where I thought Ted. Now, Ted, you are a media mogul, as we all know. You're the you're big in gut check. You're big in the publishing world. So if there's one thing you know, it's entertainment. You know how to entertain a crowd. And so I thought, what better person to put together the Happy Rant CCM tour? Tours are a big thing these days. You got, you know, lots of bands going on tour. So let's walk through the hat. You sent this to both. You banged out an agenda in like 20 minutes because that's how fast you are at these things, how good you are. And we're going to just walk through it, and we're going to comment on it. And I think this could be a huge moneymaker for us.
Yeah. So if there are any conference organizers or rock promoters out there who want a turnkey event, definitely hit us up.
Well, I mean, I am in Nashville, so I might have some connections in the CCM industry. I'll depending on the response to this, I will take it to them and see if we can get this thing rolling.
Just put it in front of them, you know.
Yep, that's right. But we do need some listener response to know. It's sort of the test case. They're the
sample.
To know
if this thing has legs,
that's,
you know,
right.
Kick the tires a little bit.
Does it have legs? That's exactly what I was trying
to
figure.
So, Michael W. Smith, if you're listening, this could be for you. All right, so I'm going to kick it off. All right, welcome to the Happy Rant Lifeway Crossway Late Winter Early Spring Jam Fest. The Early Spring Jam Fest is an extreme, that has an exclamation point and is expelled extreme, chance to hear some of the most famous people in evangelicalism either singing or talking into a microphone. Mm. Also included will be large video screens with inspiring images on them, as well as appeals for money. There will also be some awkward skits. This year, the Early Spring Jam Fest Holy Land Tour will make stops in the cities most responsible for the spread of evangelical Christendom worldwide. Now, right off the bat, I'm in. Like, I'm
can we make one addendum to that? The along with appeals for money, I think we also need to provide opportunities to sponsor a less fortunate child, because that usually goes
yes,
with the CCM
absolutely.
Tour. So let's just, listeners, be aware. This is a working document, and yep. we will flesh these things out a bit more as we proceed.
It's a living document.
Yes, that's it.
And
not working. Working is so boring.
And I feel like we can't just go with like the standard like Compassion International or World. We need some sort of like blood
let's
water.
Let's go with sponsor an unemployed college graduate.
There you go.
To go on a mission trip.
Sponsor a down on your luck Christian entertainer. Right?
sponsor a comeback tour. The Rich Mullins Memorial Comeback Tour.
I love it.
So the first stop, February 25th, we will be stopping in Wheaton, Illinois, in the Billy Graham wing of the Billy Graham Library on the Billy Graham Quadrant on the campus of Wheaton College, sponsored by North Face, the official outfitter of Wheaton College students and affluent people everywhere. Barnabas, you are a Wheaton alum, are you not?
I am a Wheaton alum, and I don't take any umbrage to anything that was written there. It pretty much nails it.
Did you wear North Face all the time?
The only North Face thing that I wore when I was at Wheaton was this really nice long sleeve pullover that I found on the ground after playing Ultimate Frisbee, and I claimed it as my own. So it was like a pseudo-theft homeless man's
dude, I feel like college is great for that, like finding things on the ground. I found some sweet stuff that way in college.
Oh, when you go to college with rich people, it's fantastic, mm-hmm. because at the end of the semester, in the laundry room in the dorms, they just lay out everything that's been left there. And then people will leave stuff that they don't want. And so you can find like $200 jackets and like
a pair of Jordans, a flat screen TV,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look, a mini fridge that has been lightly used for nothing. It's amazing. So the downside to going to college with rich people is that it costs a lot. The upside is that you get a ton of free gear.
There you go. It's the least they can do for you at Wheaton. You
That's
know?
Right. They don't even miss it. Let's be honest.
No.
Now this stop at Wheaton, it's going to be it could be a little bit controversial, but I like that. I like, Ted, how you're pushing the envelope here. Speaker will be Rachel Held Evans, who will stand on stage and tweet her talk on the oversized video screens. The audience will then have an opportunity to respond anonymously via the Yik Yak app. Music will be provided by former Wheaton student Trent Reznor. Did he go to Wheaton?
He did go to Wheaton for a little while, right, Barnabas? Am I right about that?
That rings a bell, but I can't confirm or deny, so we'll just say yes.
Yeah, it's a rough draft. This is a living document.
Well, music could also be like while Rachel Held Evans is tweeting her talk, mm-hmm. we could also play the soundtrack from Wes Craven's movies in the background, which would both fit the talk, and he's another Wheaton alum. So,
dude, I love it.
All sorts of crossover potential here.
Audience members are invited to not judge the content of his lyrics, because not judging is, of course, the highest possible social value. Now, I like that a lot, Ted. That feels edgy to me. Why'd you put that in there?
Dude, just because I want to be open, you know? I mean, who am I to judge anyone?
That's really
so we could all get in a room and not judge together. That would be amazing.
And it would be so fun.
It would be fun, and we could then congratulate ourselves on how not judgmental we are about everything.
We could make a BuzzFeed video about how not judgmental we are, like that one that recently came. I didn't even watch. Did you guys watch that BuzzFeed video about being a Christian, but I'm not? Did you guys see that?
Dude, yes. I've watched zero BuzzFeed videos in my life.
Oh, I guess I didn't watch the video. I just participated in the really, really entertaining hashtag that was going around Twitter, which some people were using seriously, and some of us were simply taking pot shots at silly Christian things.
One of us needs to pen a really lengthy response to that, I think. That's what's called for in this kind of situation.
I prefer not to pen really lengthy responses to anything. That's a lot of work. Usually Denny Burke or somebody at Southern Seminary takes care of it for me.
He already did it. Yeah, he already did it.
Oh, good. Well, problem solved. Thank you, Denny.
Yeah. Okay, so there will be an appeal for money. Guests are invited to the appeal for money is guests are admitted to submit white papers on racial and socioeconomic reconciliation, consider those papers, and then not do anything practical about them. You know what I like about that? It's raising awareness.
Absolutely.
You know what I like about this? This was written as if the Wheaton student body planned it.
Yeah. This is what their student activities council would come up with.
This is the perfect Wheaton College event.
They could use that.
I'm not sure that Phil Ryken would agree, but the student body would love it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, well done.
And I forgot to comment earlier, Barnabas. I feel like when you commented on playing Ultimate Frisbee, that's like the official sport of Wheaton, isn't it?
Well, it's like the official sport of white Christian college kids.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just trying to fit in. I was, you know, when in Rome, play Ultimate Frisbee.
Ted, do they play a lot of Frisbee at Union?
I think they probably do, man, being that we're a Christian college. So I haven't seen that firsthand, but I'm guessing there's a thriving Frisbee culture here on campus.
But beware, if you're going out to play golf, you know, where you throw the Frisbee and try to hit a target, it is disc golf, not Frisbee golf. And if you say Frisbee golf, you are clearly a child of the 90s, back right. when we originated the stinking game. And,
isn't disc golf the official sport of smoking weed?
Well, that also fits well at some Christian college campuses, which probably progresses us nicely to the next one, actually.
True.
So on March 15th, so the Wheaton stop is February 25th. Then on March 15th, so a nice little break between them, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the garishly oversized basketball arena on the campus of Calvin College. Now, I haven't been to Calvin College. I have seen their basketball team play. They're moderately successful. Is it a huge basketball arena, Ted?
They're as successful as you would expect a team called Calvin College to be.
A team of white, you know, Dutch reformed guys would be. You know.
But here's the thing about Dutch people.
It's like watching an NBA game in the 50s.
They are all George Mikan.
Or a WNBA game now.
Well, no, because they're all 6'6", like glow-in-the-dark white guys with blonde or red hair.
None of them can dunk. Even though they're 6'6".
No, but I remember going to a Calvin Wheaton game when I was in college, and more than one of their players drilled like 6 3-pointers.
Oh, they're just they can shoot the lights out, these guys,
man. Yeah, it's Jimmy Chitwood everywhere.
It's Jimmy Chitwood everywhere. They shoot the ball, they set good picks, and nobody sucks.
But they're what we call scrappy and fundamentally sound, which is a really nice way of describing white athletes everywhere.
No, but this campus, the funny thing about it, so Calvin has like 3,000 students. I mean, they're just kind of your average size, small private Christian college, except that they have a gigantic, like, Detroit Pistons quality basketball arena that seats like, I think, 12 to 15,000 people. I don't know the number.
Do they use it for, is it mostly used for events like the one that we are proposing?
I think it probably is. It's probably also a conference venue, as it were. But it's a really legit basketball arena, man. The thing is huge.
Well, it's good to know that we will be in nice digs for this particular event. All right. So the speaker, the birthplace of the modern Reformation, the Grand Rapids tour stop, will play host to the father of the modern Reformation, Matt Chandler.
Wow.
I would say he's a son of the modern Reformation.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little bold to say he's the father of the modern Reformation. Wouldn't you?
Are you guys telling me that he didn't invent Reformed theology? Is that what I'm hearing on this program?
I mean,
for all practical purposes, let's just go with it, because I'm sure he invented it for everybody under the age of 35.
And he's the it's safe to say he's the father of the modern Reformation, because some of the fathers of the modern Reformation got torn to pieces. So we'll just say he's the father.
Yeah, he has yet to face many, you know, lions or bears in the Colosseum. So, or to be hanged or beheaded or anything like that. So, we'll just
and here's hoping let him go. Happens, seriously,
yes, that's yeah.
Well, kidding aside,
we don't condone that. Music, DC Talk, and the Newsboys, who actually at this point have the same lineup of musicians.
That's so true.
I don't know who's in who's back. I know the original DC Talk, but
okay. Listen,
Grand Rapids is also the birthplace of like frugality, so I feel like that's a good move because you get two bands for the price of one.
Dude, and seriously, Newsboys at this point is I think Michael Tate is still the lead singer. Kevin Max used to be the lead singer of Audio Adrenaline, but I don't think that worked out because he's not there anymore. So now he's back.
Wasn't he formerly in DC Talk also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, they're all the same. It's basically all the same guys doing this.
I love that, man.
Yeah. They should just become one band at this point.
Dude, what do they call that in the industry? Like a
super band. It's a super band.
Yeah, super
band. Well, I think we just changed the name to The News Talk.
Yeah, the News Talk.
Yeah.
Which suits the demographic that they now reach as well.
It does. It does.
All right. And the appeal for money, an hour-long presentation on how you can be financially independent and have the lifestyle you've always wanted, courtesy of the Amway Corporation. Now, I do think that for this part, we should redo the venue a little bit so that everybody feels like they're sitting around a public coffee shop looking at a three-ring binder during this hour-long presentation, because that's really how these presentations ought to be done. Yeah. At least that's how I've always seen them done.
And Ted, didn't you say I feel like you said that Amway was born up in Grand Rapids?
It was. Yeah, it was. They are such a financial kind of force that I feel like the owners of Amway kind of own, you know, half the city of Grand Rapids. So it's a huge kind of weird conflating of money and theology, and it's a different culture out there, man.
I do think that we ought to make a point for this one in inviting people to this March 15 Grand Rapids event. I think the idea is that people should go Dutch as well.
Oh,
just to be culturally sensitive and culturally relevant, everybody ought to go Dutch.
I love it. Folks, that's hatemail@barnabaspiper.com.
Are the Dutch a hateful bunch? I'm not really sure. I feel like I've picked
on man, no comment. No comment. They're politely hateful, probably.
I was going to say, they're probably somewhat like the Scandinavians in that way.
Yeah, yeah. They'll kill you with kindness, meaning meanness.
And casserole.
Yeah.
Ted, you want to take us into the final leg of the tour?
Yeah, guys, we're getting into the final leg of this tour. March 31st, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, in the largest megachurch in Nashville, which is currently the 75,000-seat Rocket Town LP Financial Field, which is also on Sundays, home of the Tennessee Titans, who you know from the NFL, the National Football League. So
recently renamed Nissan Field. So,
Nissan Field. Yes, nothing gives you those warm, kind of nostalgic NFL Titans vibes like Nissan Field.
Exactly.
Yes, like functional four-door sedans.
Functional four-door sedan field. Uncool sedan field. That was the working title until they...
They fleshed that one out a little bit.
Don't you guys miss the days of like Ebbets Field, Forbes, like just all the old fat? Now it's like Citibank Field.
Yeah, it was so much better when the billionaire who built the stadium named it after himself.
Dude, right, man. Can't we go back to a simpler time like that?
back before sports were integrated. Oh, wait, no, that's not.
Folks,
better.
That's hatemail@barnabaspiper.com.
All right, keep going.
All right, so we've got a great lineup here in Nashville, guys. I'm a little biased, I guess, because I get to read this one. So our speaker is going to be John Acuff, so Mr. Motivation himself, via Skype video from an undisclosed basement in nearby Brentwood, Tennessee. Good. So still doing gigs, still getting out there, still growing the platform.
I think he might prefer Periscope.
I was going to say, I think he's Periscoping a lot.
I don't know what that is, but that would work too.
Yeah, it's a live stream video a la Skype, except that you can broadcast it directly to social media platforms, so everybody can sit in this massive LP Field, Nissan Field, Rocket Town Church, and view the talk phones. On their phone. Exactly.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's what I want. I want people.
It really brings people together.
I want people in the venue, but I want them actually viewing the talk on their phones. That would be ideal. Okay, so our music is Striper. So great 80s hair metal band if you grew up in the 80s. Our music is Striper, sponsored by Aquanet. And then Petra, sponsored by the family and friends of Petra.
They did a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Are there family and friends still alive?
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny. This is just rip and read radio. So I'm reading what's in front of me.
This is what's happening. Ted just is reading what's happening. This is what the event.
And then the appeal for money on this one, you guys, and I feel like this is very Nashville. With each purchase of conference-branded skinny jeans and fitted T-shirts, a pair of skinny jeans will be sent to an underprivileged skinny child in an African village.
Here's the great thing. When you send skinny jeans to an actual skinny person, they're just called jeans, and they fit. It's
that's
amazing.
True. Etymologically, I feel like it gets really complicated. But,
that's right. The skinnies cancel each other out, and you're just left with jeans, which yeah. works really well for a child in need.
It does. It really does. Steven, do you want to take the last one?
I'll take us home, guys.
All right, take us home.
So the last one will be April 1st, and this one's no joke, folks. In the incorporated municipality known as Focus on the Family Colorado, the speaker will be you. I like that. That's very postmodern. Mm. Each attendee is invited to, quote-unquote, preach to the audience on one of 15,000 individual video monitors. The music, I like this. Now, this is a – I feel like you're broadening our reach here. This was a wise business move. Our music will be Carmen, sponsored by middle-aged women everywhere. And our appeal for money will be Carmen Vision, in which audience members are invited to sponsor Carmen for just slightly more than the cost of a cup of coffee each day. Sponsors will receive a refrigerator magnet photograph of Carmen holding a soccer ball standing in front of a drab brick wall. That's good. That's good stuff.
Are they expected to be pen pals with Carmen?
I think Carmen would like to hear from you. You know, maybe a letter every month. Would that kill you? You know?
I think you're supposed to send like letters, sticks of gum, and then like photos of yourself or something like that. I think that's how that works.
Like for his fridge, he could put the photo on the drab brick wall behind him.
And you need to avoid talking about like how your life is going, what you're doing, because you don't want to create jealousy in him.
Mm. And don't let him know that that there's other music that's been created, because he might feel bad.
Don't let him know that you're going to Wheaton and getting like free North Face swag in the laundry room and fridges and stuff that people don't want either.
Now, you do have to applaud Carmen for his willingness to like cross over genres. Do you guys remember Carmen's rap album?
Dude, I do. I've seen the videos, man. They're unbelievable.
Do we have to applaud Carmen?
Three words: puffy purple jacket.
And I feel like that says it all about courage. I mean, here's a guy who he could have stayed in the comfortable Christian lounge singer genre, but instead he took a bold risk and he went into rap. And then he did a kids album. Do you guys remember that?
I don't remember that one. No, I remember a country song though.
He did
in like a roadhouse with Margaret Becker. It was a duet. There was line dancing.
So it wasn't so much that he crossed over genres as that he basically did, like, you know when you're a kid and you go to McDonald's and you get like to go down the drink thing and you get a little bit of everything and create suicide? That was Carmen's music. It was just like a splash of everything, and it was just this, and it ended up suicide. Kind of sickening.
He is
musical. He is the musical suicide beverage.
I'm gonna choose to remember the good in Carmen. I'm not gonna think of him like that, because the highest value is not judging. So I'm not judging Carmen right now.
I like it.
Is there a difference between judging and evaluating? Because I'd like to still do one and not fall into the pitfall of judging.
Now, as we wrap this up, so Ted, how long do you think? I mean, could we take this, like, could we extend this? Like, what if the demand was so great? Could we go across multiple cities in the U.S.?
Guys, we could add some other cities. I mean, I feel like the impetus for this one was really, really honing in on the cities that have had the most to do with the spread of Christianity worldwide, man. And by worldwide, I, of course, mean just here in the United States.
I think the natural next stop is Orlando.
I agree. Yeah, Orlando just barely didn't make the cut, but it's a great stop.
Yeah, there's like 7 million ministries in Orlando. I feel like there's a large consumer of this kind of entertainment there. I think that would work well.
I feel like if you're an old person moving into Orlando, you actually have to prove that you have your own ministry. That's one of the that's one of the requirements for buying a McMansion in Orlando.
It's like a citizenship
and then opening a P.O. box.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's
Branson is another stop that very well ought to be on this because it's.
Oh, love Branson.
You know, we might need to trend older with the music, even older than Carmen. Like, is Larry Norman still alive? I feel like he would work well in Branson.
No, he's
maybe,
not.
Maybe like the Gaithers or yeah. Sandy Patty or something.
Yeah, they would be perfect. And they're still available, although I hear they're a bit pricey, so we might have to raise ticket prices for that one.
There you go.
Wonder if what about Margaret Becker? What's she doing these days?
Oh, Marge.
What's old Marge doing these days?
I don't know, man. I think Jeff Moore in the distance could be available.
Ooh, good one. Yeah,
that's a thing. He went to Taylor.
I think Dallas or Houston is the stop after that.
Ooh,
because they're just you have all of the mega churches to pick from. They're everywhere. There's one on every corner. Literally a 10,000 person church on every corner.
We could do it in Joel Osteen's arena.
Yes, that's true. Where the Rockets used to play, correct?
Exactly.
Guys, according to Margaret Becker, she is a artist, producer, and songwriter. So she now produces music projects and she does artist intensives.
Mm.
Guys,
I don't know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
Guys,
who's Margaret Becker?
She did a duet with Carmen in a roadhouse.
Yeah.
Okay. That was her defining career moment, but it really launched her on the artist intensive track.
In my mind, it was.
But, I mean, to her credit, okay, according to her website, she's sold over 2.8 million records. How many records have you sold, Ted?
Zero. Zero and counting.
I'm going to reach out to Margaret. Actually, even on her website, she goes by Maggie. So
I might
reach out to her and see if she's willing to hop on the tour. Folks, if you want to hop on the tour, hit us up. I do want to thank our listeners we had one listener reach out on Twitter today thanking us for our NFL coverage last week and asking for more.
That was a lady listener, by the way. Wow. We heard from two or three female listeners who said they loved the sports talk just in the last couple of days. So
at Kristen Bloomer, and she's from Pittsburgh, PA, my hometown. Thank you, Kristen. Appreciate it. Also, thank you for those of you leaving reviews. We're up to 108 reviews. Super thankful for the reviews. And we're thankful to our thankful to the sponsors of the podcast, David C. Cook and the guys at Resonate Recordings for editing it. Dave, thank you, David C. Cook. Go to dccebooks.com. Free ebooks, ebook deals. Thanks to the guys at Resonate for editing the podcast. If you want to find out more about Resonate, if you need your podcast or sermon edited, you can go to facebook.com/resonaterecordings. Like them. Tell them we sent you. And I think the only thing I thought about our tour is we didn't have Lecrae on the tour anywhere.
Mm.
And I feel like he's the guy who shows up on every Christian tour these days.
Why don't we just add Lecrae to the bill for all of these?
he's just the guy that's going to be at every event. You can just expect Lecrae there. He'll be the house band.
Like a previously white song. Steven, he should rap Behold Our God.
Oh.
Would that make you feel good as a songwriter?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Plus it could bump up the revenue royalty a little bit.
I think he should do an album of covers of old worship songs. Like he could lead with Shine Jesus Shine and then go to Awesome God. I mean, do you think Lecrae is artist enough to do that? To rap old worship songs?
Dude, I do. I think that would be killer.
I think Lecrae could totally do that. Lecrae, if you're listening, Lecrae, we're willing to coach you. We're willing to mentor you.
Could we have artist intensive with Lecrae about that?
I think that's a real possibility.
I think it would really expand his market because he's clearly just a fledgling artist at this point.
He's
so
struggling. He's really struggling.
And he hasn't really captured the, like, you know, middle-aged white guys with young kids market yet. Oh, wait, he has.
Driving four-door Nissan sedans.
Exactly.
That's right. Lecrae gets played in more minivans than any hip-hop artist out there.
He does.
Love it.
All right, folks. Until next time, peace the heck out.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Grotheis, host of Truth Tribe, where we seek the truth through reason and evidence about what matters most. And we are not tribal, since truth is for everyone. Please join me at the Truth Tribe as I discuss the reasons for Christian faith, the Christian worldview, and moral issues such as abortion and gender ideology. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Truth Tribe on your favorite podcast app.